moving from one stage to the next. Each service like a step. Here tonight, walking those same bloody footprints. We see the bright light, Venus and the Father standing at the door. We know it won't be long again, friends. May tonight the Holy Spirit do something in our hearts. Lord, move us up even a little closer to Him. Nearer than when we first believed. Let us unite our faith together tonight. We pray. Whatever request you might have on your heart tonight, coming into His house and His presence. Just think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think and be persuaded in your heart and know that He is interested tonight. He can be trusted. He can be relied upon. He comes expecting that we would cast our cares upon Him. He comes expecting that we would approach His presence. Come and believe in that He is, and knowing that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we judge Him faithful tonight, think of what He can do for us. We can receive strength. The very things that we see lacking in our very own lives, we can see it begin to come forth. The things that we feel that we are unable to manifest, He can show to us. His dunamis can bring it to pass in our lives. He proved it to Sarah. If He did it for the type, how much more He can do for the antitype? How much more is greater today than it was in that day? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bow our hearts in your presence. God, we realize that you've considered us. We were in your thoughts existing there way before the foundation of the world. Sometimes the human mind could hardly even grasp that, Lord. Even before there was an atom, even before there was a molecule, even before there was angels. Oh, but even before the worlds were created, Lord, we existed eternally in your thoughts. You knew us. You thought about us, Lord. We were part of you. You desired for fellowship. You were determined to bring us into expression. Yet you were patient to wait for the appointed time when it would suit your purpose, when it would please you, Lord, when it would cause you to manifest yourself in such a way that you'd be able to display and unfold to us the great riches of your grace and your mercy, and we would be able to appreciate it, Lord, knowing that you put us in the right time, in the right season, where you can reveal yourself to us in the way, under the conditions, under the circumstances, that would make this so real to us, Lord, that would cause us to see your great love with which you have loved us. How we thank you, Lord, for a message that you could send by the mouth of a vindicated prophet to speak these things. Words that have changed our lives. Words that have taken our amnesia away. Words that have brought us to this realization, Lord. The Lord God, we can have a hope in our hearts tonight. As we make our pilgrimage through this world, confessing that we are pilgrims and strangers. And here we have no continuing city. Because, dear God, we realize there are mansions in heaven prepared for us. Bodies, Lord, tabernacles, collectively called a city with a great King Melchizedek himself. Oh, God, where he's the light of that city, Father. And to know that city is to come and dwell upon the face of the earth. What a promise you have given unto us, Lord. Here we are tonight, even among delegates, Father, of that great city, looking forward to the great King himself will manifest himself in our midst tonight. We'll do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Oh God, something to make us more persuaded, Lord, for the words have been fully persuaded that neither height, nor depth, nor length, nor breadth, nor things past, nor present, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, or things to come, could separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus. Oh God, bring us that kind of persuasion, Lord. Where Paul said, I know in whom I believe and I'm persuaded. Totally convinced without a shadow of a doubt. He's able to keep that which you commit unto him even against that day. Let these things not just be a scripture, but may it become a living reality in our hearts. An influence, Lord. Something that motivates us, even in the face of adverse circumstances, to make us confess that you are the Almighty God, the Omnipotent One, who is able, Lord, more than able, to take your very situation. Lord God, you could make every trial a blessing. You said you are able to work all things together for good to them that love you and are decalled according to your purpose. What a value to put to this service. That if tonight, Lord, just a few moments you spend in this place, some of these eternal realities, Lord God, can be so inspired to us that we leave here, truly we see and understand in a deeper depth what you meant when you said, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves. Much more as you see that they're approaching. Oh God, to know that where two or three are gathered together in your name, yeah, you are in the midst. And the earthly things will just fade away. And those great bright eternal realities, those heavenly things, Lord, will just flood our souls. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Have your way, Lord. Take full charge of this service. Bless each and every one. We so thank you for this opportunity. How it goes more and more precious to us with each passing day as we realize, dear God, there's no place in this world for us. When we come together like this, it's truly home. It's truly supper time. It's truly a time of fellowship, Lord. No wonder Adam and Eve looked forward for that time, Father. It was the thing that consumed their lives. Now you've drawn us away from this world to bring us unto yourself, Lord. And we get to begin to enter and partake and get a foretaste of the fullness that awaits us. Lord, it stimulates us and it makes us hunger for more. And so we just pray you bless us tonight in our fellowship around your word, and you bless each and every one. And surely, dear God, you know the needs in the hearts of your children. You know the needs in every life. And Lord God, we pray as we trust you and believe you, as you would inspire faith to our hearts and you'd settle us and relax us under your great presence. Father God, the inner man will just go to release in that great faith that's locked up on the inside. And there'll be a communion, there'll be a contact with you and your children, dear God. And all these things that they're designed, they'll experience it coming from negative to positive, Lord. Being made actual in the experience, being made personalized to them. Grant it, Lord. We thank you for it. Because we believe that you are a prayer answering God. You said when we pray, believe we have received what we asked for, and we shall have it. So we exercise our faith in your word, and we thank you for the promise that you have given. Now take full charge of this service and give glory to your great name. We pray and believe that we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. We love the Lord tonight. Amen. He certainly is wonderful. Amen. Such a great privilege to live for him and to serve him. Amen. We begin to realize what this means, what it means to be a Christian. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? You think back about the days when you were in darkness. Amen. You remember where God took you from. Amen. I was nearing despair when he came to me dear. If I had to say it myself, I couldn't say it better than that. The songwriter was inspired. He spoke for all of us. Amen. When he showed me that I could be free, then he lifted my feet, gave me glory complete when he reached out his hand to me. And I want to hold that unchanging hand tonight. I want to keep looking towards that new horizon. This great shalom, this new day that has begun to break forth to us with the coming of this great light. To shine and make a path clear in the midst of the darkness. We can know how to walk. And it's near when we first believe. I like the little song. Amen. When we first started, we were singing there just now. Amen. It's so wonderful tonight. Sometimes we worry about things, you know, sometimes to praise God, just to thank Him. Amen? Say, Lord, you are the author and you are the finisher. It's a good thing you didn't give me the job, and you didn't give me some man the job. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just let me relax in your presence. Let me accept you. Amen. Let me hold to your hand. Just teach me how to cuddle up under you. Amen. That's what you want, friends. Sometimes, you know, we get so grown up. Sometimes you get a childish sometimes. See, sometimes you know, disciples worrying about who's going to do this, who's going to do that. And the Lord said, be like this little child here. Just depend on me. This child depends on me. It's daddy for everything. Amen. He knows how to do things for us. And sometimes, you know, we want to take charge of things. We want to show people that we could be in charge. We just make a fool of ourselves. You know, he said, Lord, you know the way. Just keep on leading on. I enjoy seeing you do it every time. Amen. It's just wonderful. It just makes all the difference.
Then you, when you find you love Him, you find the love begin to grow, you find it makes all the difference. Love Him tonight and you watch and see. Amen. Just think about Him in a way that, you know, that He thought of you. He wanted you to be here. He wanted me to be here. Sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror, we get fed up, we hate ourselves, we wish we'd be a little different, our nose would be a little straighter, or you know, our hair a little longer, our face a little more wrong with something, our stomach's not that big, and everything else. We just try to want to present something to the world, to say, here's a specimen, something you can admire. Well, God's not dealing in the flesh, friends. God's dealing in the soul, in the spirit. He wants to exhibit something out there. The world can see Jesus Christ. Amen. So God just knows how to do it, and you know, just make you feel that much happy. It's actually to relax tonight. We love the Lord. It's a nice, cool night tonight, and no doubt Davis is a poor preach long. I'm not going to preach long, but I'm just saying, should God want to keep us and just fill us with His presence? Amen. If He does that, that's up to Him. If He dismisses us at 8:30, we feel good too. Because He can give us some of these kind of vitamin pills. You leave 8:30, you know, sometimes you feel to eat for 2 hours by the table and you say, well, eat today. And somebody give you a little vitamin pill like that, it's more nourishment than the 2 hours of eating by the table. You go on this strength, that's like you go to Elijah. Go on this strength for 40 days. One little cake, go on this strength for 40 days. You know, a big bag of bread and groceries for a month. And sometimes you worry about these things. He said, hey, little boy, the fridge look empty, the cupboard look kind of empty, and you know, kind of work, I better go over time, I better do this, I better try to get 2 jobs. And no, just say, Lord, is this the time? Maybe it's time for these scriptures like what Elijah get. Maybe these little things are going to be in the strength of 40 days. Maybe you want to show some of these things now. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen, but we have to believe it. You see, you have to expect things to receive it. If you don't expect it, how are you going to receive it? You have to be expecting it. You have to know God wants to do that. Then that means you want to watch the way He does things. Sometimes He leads us blindly. He don't let us know it's happening because He wants to try some tests. He needs to appear. Just you're going to react and start there. He and Satan is having a big conversation. He's going to say, watch them fall right here. Watch Mr. Complain and Mr. Murmur get on the floor. God says, you think so? He says, I don't believe that. He says, I dealt with them in secret and he was looking. I know I deal with them in secret and they don't know I am looking. You watch and see something. And you find when you see yourself live out certain things, you know that isn't you. It's God in you. Then what does that do to you? It tells you in that day you will know I am you. And you in me. You begin to see it for yourself. But the scripture has been fulfilled. So simple. I am you and you. And begin to say, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. Romans 11, verse 25. We went tonight, we're trying to make one like a little Bible study. We're trying to chew tonight. As long as I'm here with you. And on Daniel and Revelation, we've been trying to stay there. And make like a little Bible study, a little teaching, sort of. So just the background in and just touching one or two things, not trying to scatter out too much, not trying to make it too deep, but just enough to just keep us moving on. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. From verse all the way from verse 1, he's speaking. As a matter of fact, from chapter 9, he's speaking about Israel, rejecting the word, Israel blindness. And then he sums it up here and tell him, I would not have you, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. What is a mystery? Scripture previously hidden, but now divinely revealed. But though the revelation is given, there still remains a supernatural element despite the revelation. That's the definition for a mystery. It's something that was hidden, but now it's been revealed. And he said, I will not have to be ignorant. I want to share this mystery with you. I want to share with you because this mystery is going to teach you how God works. This mystery is going to teach you Israel's place. This mystery is going to teach you something about your own self too. See? So I will not have you ignorant of this mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit. If you don't have a revelation of mystery, you start to get puffed up. You start to get lifted up. You start to feel special in a wrong way. And in that wrong way you feel special, you can fall. And Paul says, Israel blindness brings salvation to us. Think of what their restoration is going to bring. If their blindness could bring salvation to you, what about what the restoration is going to bring to you? The worst thing could happen to them brings such a great blessing. What are the best thing that could happen to them to bring to you? You see? So he's trying to teach us something here. That blindness in part is happened to Israel. Not just full blindness, blindness in part. It was a judicial blindness. I think I preached it here already for you. It happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's two things here in this mystery. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, and then we read about the fullness of the Gentiles becoming. That fullness of that Gentiles coincides and connects with that blindness in part. Because the fullness of the Gentiles, they don't give you a specified time, but God will, because it's a mystery, it hides something, it sees something. There's a time Israel's eyes going to be open. Since God knows how much time the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles is, if you know, according to the word, when Israel's eyes are going to be open, you know when the fullness of the Gentiles is going to come in. Amen? You can find those things in the Bible. That's the beautiful thing about the scripture. It's like riddles, but the answers are inside of it also. And when you find it, then you come into fellowship with God. Then you see what God is doing. Let us pray. Father, take your word to and bless our hearts. Inspire me to agree. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me, every seat. Last week I was speaking on redeeming the time. That was our subject last week, redeeming the time. And this week, I'm just still on time because the whole thing of Daniel and Revelation is time. And I want to spend all time tonight on that and read, just do some reading for you out of the Daniel chapter 3 book. To read some things that I believe will help you appreciate, that will help you appreciate the value of knowing what lays inside of this revelation and what we are trying to bring out to you. Why we are laboring with this and why we are trying to dig it out and polish it up and show it to you so you could grasp it. Sometimes, you know, you hear of Daniel, people say, yeah, I hear about Daniel. And you try to read it your own self and you don't get much out of it. And people have this way, if they are impatient, when you read of something and you don't get nothing out of it, you want to read something, you get something out of it. So the attitude is to leave that and just go and find something else. But spiritual people, when they know something is important, and even though they can't get a hold of it, then they realize, well, maybe it's not that God don't want to give it to me. Maybe I'm not in the condition to receive it. So they say, Lord, what is it that is blocking me, or what it is that you see in me that you're not ready to give it to me? Can I not be trusted? Are you going to hide it from me? I desire to know it. Now, that happened to Daniel in the Bible. And God says, give him a reason why he couldn't give it to him there and then. He says, it's for the time of the end now. Now, if we live in the time of the end and we want to know it, God can't tell us it's for the time of the end. God is going to make it known to us now. Because we are living in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. We're still in that voice, you know. It is days plural, not singular. In the days of the voice. If that voice went when the prophet went, then we were not called. Because the days of that voice kept going on, we were called because we weren't here when he was alive. He left 1965. None of us believed him as in 1965. But hearing the voice on the tape still, we were quickened and brought because the days of that voice had to exceed the departure of the one the voice came through. It's wonderful when you could understand the things of God Because that is what brings maturity. That is what settles the believer. And you know, like, we have young people here, most of them in school. And they have exams and they have things they have to study, to get a hold of. And sometimes a student really cannot progress, maybe in a particular subject, until they break through the realm of just cramming and trying to retain the saber. But when they break into it and they begin to visualize the concept of what they're studying, then they no longer have to depend on just memory and how it says in the book. It begins to open up to them. Those principles become real to them in everyday life. What is history? History repeats itself. What is geography? This is something that man has looked at in nature and chronicled and write about it. Man has studied different things about the weather and the climatic conditions and the environment. And man, in studying these things, as civilization advances, they are able to bring more comprehensive reports of these things that have become a form of teaching. Now, what is the same thing with the Word? The Word is like that. When you don't really break into the Word, you try just to remember the Word and recite the Word. Memory verse. But when the Word begins to open to you, and you begin to see the reality of the Word, it does something to you. It comes out of the pages then. It comes into everyday life. It comes into everyday experience. And then you find that the Word coming to you in that form, it shares with you its power that is locked up in it. But when the Word don't come in that form, it seems powerless. That's why the Bible says they let it kill it. It takes the Spirit to give life, but the Spirit is in the Word, and the Spirit wants to come out of the Word. The life was in Jesus, but the blood shall be broken for the life to come out. When the life come out, then it could be shared. Others could partake of the life. That is what the Word is like. There is a blood cell, and there's a life and a quickening power that come upon you. And when it comes to you real in that way, you find that it changes you. You get hungry for it. When you get that first taste, you get hungry for it. You say, my goodness, the Word have that? The Word make you feel this way? The Word bring this confidence? Oh, now you want to know it. As the Word exposes to you its value. Could you imagine a man find a diamond and it's a big diamond, he doesn't know what it is? And he picked up a whole bunch of old seashell and put it all along his dressing table and in his living room and everything else. And somebody come and say, I like this rock here. He said, yeah, I get them at the beach today. But it's not nice like these shells, though. See? Because you don't know what it is. And somebody who knows what it is. You see? So he will value other things above that. Because he do not know the value of it. And he will quicker want to give away that to keep what he esteems to be valuable. But the moment you see the value of it, nothing else is of any value. Because like everything was made by the Word. Before anything was made, the Word existed. Then you understand why Jesus didn't need a bag of money and a bag of bread and a wardrobe of clothes. We get tied to that. You feel you get naked, so you have to get extra pants, an extra shirt, an extra dress. You know, you want one just in case. This one's getting old, you want another one. So we get locked in there. We have to keep dressing, we have to keep getting clothes, we have to keep buying clothes. Then we feel that, you know, we want food, we're going to go hungry. So we have to stock up food. We feel safe. We have famine coming, we hear but deflation, devaluation coming. See, inflation, recession coming in. Oh, you want to barb everything fast. Stock it up. We feel safe. We look around, we see it. Because man has trained our minds that way. Man has somehow alienated us from the Word of God and a power that produces these things. God has never lost the formula. He hasn't lost the power and the ability to use that formula to create and bring into existence. God proved that He made squirrels eons ago, and then here He came back in this day and bring back one out of existence like He did when He brought the first squirrel in Genesis. He proved He still had the formula, He still knew the way to do it, and He proved that he could even do it through somebody else standing right there. This message was designed to draw us close to God, to see Him, to watch Him, to learn of Him. This message is God exposing Himself to us, taking the veil off of Himself, taking the mystery away from Himself. While He was veiled, He was shrouded up in mystery. Try to figure Him out. Is it three? Is it one? Is it two? Who it is? What is He like? Is He a judge? Does He love people? Or is He only waiting to condemn people? What it is? He's shrouded up in mystery. Then God comes and takes the field of Himself. He exposes Himself. And you see that God's achievement and God's way of showing He is God. And the best way for God to prove He is God is to take fallen man and raise him back to be God again. God in trying to bring out the best motor car. God in trying to build the best house. God in trying to bring the best set of clothing. God in trying to bring the best corn flakes. No. God wants to bring the best man. The best woman. Everybody's interested in doing. Put it back in display. That's the whole objective. And what helps us is when we know we're living in that kind of time. When God is doing these things and desires our cooperation to His Word, desires us to believe what He says He's doing, and yield and submit, and in so doing, come into unity and cooperation, that His purpose can be expressed, that you don't have to use measures to put us on beds of sickness and make us look up to see the blessing coming from, or bring hardship upon us to break us and discipline us because of rebellion inside of us. But we can be capable of being hammered into shape. We can let go and let God. We can trust God. And that is why, you know, it's easy to expose yourself, to let go of yourself when you love somebody. As long as you don't really love somebody, there's always doubt and suspicion. There's always fear. There's always skepticism. There's always something there that you have to break through or let down. There's always something, a defense mechanism, just in case. So you, at least you are insulated. You remain protected. You don't fall into a place where you get, you know, used or dominated, or even people who claim love and go into marriage relationships still doesn't let go. It takes 20 years sometimes before they finally submit to the husband. Before our husband really realized, did God give him a wife? That independence, that meat is mine, this is yours, this is not yours. I had this before I know you. Language in my ear. God and I tell you to take control of all the end. And then they come like Russia and America, two superpowers, and they dispute over territory. And it's like each one wants to be the superpower. And you know, it's a war. And this one increase here, the other one increase on the other side. And you have hot wars and cold wars. And your house is going to have a battleground and tension the family in, you know. Why? Because real love is going to bring surrender. You have to accept, you have to trust. You have to have confidence in each other. And so, the things God is asking us in an age where man has so learned to depend on his five senses for security and things he can do, God is asking you, walk away from these things. Rise up a little heart, come up, hear them. The voice in the Laodicea age, everybody rich and increase is good, is saying, come up, hear them. That's a hard time. He said, buy of me gold, tried in the fire. When they're trying to get all the gold to control the commerce and trade of the world and feel secure, he's saying, I have a gold too. Don't buy up all them gold. Buy this gold. Have a gold. It will make you rich. You wouldn't pierce your soul unto sorrows. This kind of gold is godliness with contentment. This great gain. This rare gain here. This investment in eternal life. You talk about profit. While the whole world trying to say, you're dividing the land for gain. You'll get more gain. You increase your profits. You're going to make it better for you. Free trade. You're going to take off taxes. You're going to be more prosperous. And God is saying, look, above all things, let your soul prosper. It's a time, friends, that we want to move up into that place. And then move up into that place, we realize we come here on nights and we hear the word. And we are holding pieces. So now you're putting your puzzle together. And you're coming to service and say, I hope when I get this piece tonight. I hope I get this piece. That's why God dropped a piece over here. Next service, God dropped a piece over here. Next service, God dropped a piece over here. Finally, you find your faith building. You don't know what's causing it. But your pieces coming together. You begin to see now, clearly, how to do things, how to move, how to act. You begin to get confidence that the word is true because now you're seeing it. You were hearing before. I've heard by the hearing of my ear. But now with my eyes, I see. I understand. And when that comes, I pour myself in dust and ashes. I try to hold on to this. I was fearful here. I was doubting here. I still had an insecurity here. But it's all gone now. My Lord and my God. Amen. God is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. See, you come to that place. And that is where you in your life, when you take your time off, in your quiet moment, and you sit, and you reflect on yourself. You look at yourself here. And say, oh God, have a plan for me. I want to understand that plan. I'm going to service and be talking about that plan. I want to get a hold of it. There's something in the word. They are putting their emphasis on the word. They are putting their emphasis on the end time. They are putting their emphasis on the message. It's something there that have to relate to me. And I can't grasp it. I can't grasp it all. I can't grasp it all at one time, but I'm not going to be frustrated. Because I know it's not by might, by power. But I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. And so I'm going to come in service with faith. I'm going to say, Lord, help me to understand more today. Lord, help me to grasp so many things today. Lord, clear up certain areas in the vision today. And you find when you come with that attitude of approach. See, it's not for the few moments you bow your head here. It's when you go outside tomorrow and you go to tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday all day. And you find after them 3 days there, you find you so much a confrontation with the enemy in your mind. Outside with people, circumstances, situations to oppress you, to make you feel depressed, to bring on pressure upon you. See? And you find you can't handle it. And you know, I should be handling this. I should be taking control of this. So then you come back Friday evening and you get before God in prayer. Say, Lord, you were saying so Tuesday night. You were saying so Sunday morning, Lord. And you know, during the week I begin to see certain things. And Lord, I realize that I hear in it, but I out there and situations rise up where I should have used what I'm hearing, but to get it operative, Lord, I lack in something. I want some dynamics in it. Lord, I want to weed out some of the creepers from around it. I want some water poured upon it. Stay with it. Fellowship with it. You see, sometimes you girls and boys, you know, sometimes God will give you in school, rather, they give you a little project. And they come and they want a red bean. They say, take a red bean and put it in a glass. You take your red bean and put it in a glass, work in the sun. They want you to understand botany life. They want to understand how solar energy and botany life, how that light, they shine upon that, how it germinates it. A process that takes place beyond what the eye could see. They want you to see it, even though you watch that bean, like it had no life in it. It had life in it all the time. But exposed to the right atmosphere. And you're doing that in school because it's something that holds a mystery. Because remember, God, the first Bible was in nature. And they say, use the red bean. Lord, I use the red bean. I have the life in me. I just need to get in the presence of the sun. I just need to get exposed to the right atmosphere. Maybe you have it there and say, sir, but oh, Miss Einstein doesn't have my red bean. He said, where you have it? He said, where you have it? The sun will be striking about He didn't get full sunlight. When they reach Sengkang in the morning, moving from there, put in a place where it's more exposed to the sunlight. He said, then as long as wait, now you see me, I ain't only back in church no more. Next service, up in front. I had decided the door to go outside. No, I want to get exposed to the fullness of the Word. I ain't just want to do 2 hours in service, amen. I want to go home and open up the Word and sit before it too. You want to get the air, and then you get exposed to the S-O-N. You realize there's scripture life in you, and light brings life. And then when you see that little stalk beginning to grow, that thing, and then you push out a couple of leaves. You say, my goodness, I open my red bean, but I never see that. You eat eggs almost every morning sometimes. When your mother break that egg and throw it in the frying pan, you do it yourself. You don't see no wing and feather and beak and tail and liver and gizzard and foul foot and all kind of things. You don't see it in there. But it's there. You go in the room, you drink coconut water, and you eat the jelly. Is that right? And you don't see the whole big long stalk of that coconut tree down inside your belly in some form. All that branch and all them leaves inside of you somewhere. It's there. But you're not seeing it. See? You go to the zoo and you watch a peacock and you say, my, that is a tremendous bird. Look at the design. You take one peacock feather and you try to study that. And you watch every little bit of the fibers, how it grows out there, and you watch the pattern, and like somebody take a tape and measure them to make all a certain way, and then the artist who painted, like it took so much time to go into details of design and mix the colors just right, and how the shades go in a certain way to have a certain effect, and then you say, witness, I wonder where that come from, and then you open a peacock egg and you don't see that at all. It's all inside of you. That's what the mystery is. So when you hear all these men preach, you look at your life and say, it's nothing me. Yeah, I'm the devil. I know child of God. I try to lose my calendar. It's like, no, look, inside of you. It's right inside of the air. The devil trying to tell you not the air. And how you can keep, the only way you can keep convincing you of that is keep you away from the exposure of the atmosphere that can bring it out. That's why Jesus said, except a cornet fall on the ground and die, you're going to bite alone. But let it fall on the ground and die, you're going to see what's going to happen. And that is why, see, when you begin to learn the importance, a simple thing like just the atmosphere. You just take that simple seed and you just put it in the earth, fill the water and leave it. Now if you go every 2 hours a day, let me dig it up and see. Nothing happens, you see anything? Then nothing happening. He said, it has nothing to do with this thing. No. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. You're taking the word and you leave it alone. Just thank God and praise God for it. You don't worry. I want no faith to come out. The people faith last, ain't no faith coming out. It's gonna come out. Just take it in and say, thank you, Lord. I believe it, I receive it, Lord. Amen. See? Lord, I love it! Thank you, Jesus! Shout a little bit over it. It'll help it too. Cry over it a little bit. Let the tears wash it. It does something for you too. Amen! Makes a difference. Makes a difference. Amen. So I trust you believe that. I trust you receive that. Amen? It's going to help you. It's going to help you. Many of you young ones. And sometimes you see, If I can explain something to you. You have what is in you to go beyond where we are. When we started the church 27 years ago, we had people busy doing this thing and playing music and do all the things like you can do. We come to for years, a tambourine out of time, who can sing in time, who can hold a note, who can do a thing, and you mean? First story. See, Luther, Wesley was advanced Lutheran, and the Pentecostal was advanced Methodist. You know what I'm saying? And then, Brother Bram said, what you see here is amateur fire. So what is coming? You know what is amateur fire? What you see where he's coming? That he even died and went to the grave without the change.
that God can make this even a little greater. But we stay, we were alive to go into the change without seeing death. So sometimes you go,
God again, God do it again, yes, and God and do it again.
No, you all have what it takes in you all to go beyond. And if there is to be a moral, you all have to cherish it tomorrow. See? But sometimes, she's going to hold you in a place there where you sit and you look. I heard a preacher sermon on the radio in the barbershop. And while I was there, he had his radio on and this preacher was saying, you see, there's three kind of people. One who does make things happen. Two who does watch things happen. And three who does wonder what's happening. Which group are you in? Which group you want to be in? Which group you want to move out of? See? One who does make things happen. One who does watch things happen. And one who wondered what happened. You thought that's pretty good. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
So, let's be in the first group. Let's make things happen. If you think you, if you are one who just watching things happen, come out of that group. Come out of all my people. That's not a group to be in at all. See, come up higher. Amen. Now, as I say, more as I go on, you know, you begin to see how we need sometimes to just get to a place where we can get the word into your heart, where you can see. Some people have great mighty services, and yet people catch so little of the word. And yet sometimes again, and then they make you wonder why Jesus, sitting in the house talking with them, they saw more than in the service. It's in the house to tell them what he was saying. When he preached, they come out and say, that's a good message, Lord. I know you were saying something, you know. With that sower and that seed and thing, but I know what it means. What do you mean? We're going to start some gathering next week? No, it didn't mean that. That tell them, say, no, the whole mystery is talking about the kingdom. See? So, my whole effort here is to get you to see the value of knowing the time. See, sometimes you tell a person, do certain things. You need to do that. You need to do that. It's not that they have a problem with doing that, you know. But in their mind, they think of a lot of time before they really have to start doing that. So then, they say, okay, I'll start to do it to please you. But then they're convinced that they should be going through all of that to do that. But when you see, if you don't do that now, you're missing the opportunity. Like I said, I was talking to my boy home. He was getting ready to go to school and he was talking to him, he was talking about opportunity. I said, remember what I was preaching last week on? Give me the time. Buying up the opportunity. That once you miss it, can't be recalled. The time equals opportunity. And what makes time valuable is the opportunity in the time, not just the space of time. See? That's what's important. And you have to be able to know the seasons in the time. And I explained to you, you could have a space of time for the year. You have four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And what you can do in spring, you can't do in summer. What you can do in summer, you can't do in autumn. What you can't do in autumn, you can't do in winter. You have to know your season and your time. And you have to know when how the change comes. See? And then nature, now in nature, something happens. You see, with believers, how do you think the Jesus revival started? You remember it? He was hungry and praying for 60 days. Then the prophet man explained, he says, now when the season coming, is there a dock? Like in nature, they feel the cold breeze. Now everybody feeling cold breeze, you know. But something in that dock does make him interpret that cold breeze to mean season coming, time to move. And the way he's affected, he just honk. You know, everybody honking, you know, honking. It's not a dumb dock. Unless you're a dumb dock, you can honk. But in his honking, have a kind of urgency in the honking. Have a knowledge coming out of that honk. That the other ducks honk, saying, but we honking. But that hunk, he gained something in that cold breeze. I ain't gained that cold breeze at all. You know what I'm saying? That's why the messenger each age, when he's catching that, like a prophet, shows what time it is. You know, seriously think, brethren. And Pentecostal ministers eating fried chicken and studying to build a bigger denomination and studying what they're going to do next and who can six Cadillac and there's all kinds of different things. And this man talking about going in the wilderness without water. You've got to reveal these things. This man crazy. You're fanatic. But he was walking in a certain place. And that is what we're talking about.
Something in the world. They begin to see the opportunity in the time. They begin to sense the time. They begin to realize that, Lord, you want to give it to me, I can have it now. It's not based on my feeling, it's based on my knowledge of the time. Because Satan could mess up my feelings and I could misunderstand my feelings. But if you say you're going to come at 8 o'clock, well, I ain't feeling at 8 o'clock, the postman coming with the mail anyhow. See? I had some things to do today and I didn't do it because I really didn't feel it. Again. I was thinking that a rest is going to be more beneficial for me. But the thing is, what I had to do could have been done. But I chose to rest. You know what I was trying to say? My feelings didn't change the fact that the thing could be done. But at the time, I really didn't feel the breakthrough in the realm of that feeling. No, it's telling me, the bed looked better. I trust in the Lord that there is still some more opportunity tomorrow morning. Otherwise, it's kaput. You see? So, you're realizing that what I'm talking about. No. There's books in the Bible. Understand this. There's books in the Bible. Each one has something different in it. And God took 66 of them to make up the book to reveal Jesus Christ. So in other words, we take Jesus Christ and divide him in 66 pieces. If I draw a picture of Jesus Christ with the Hoffman head, Christ standing there in the midst of the council or something, and we divide him up into 66 pieces, we could call each part a book. You could call one part Mark, you could call one part Job, you could call one part Psalm, you could call one part Genesis, or whatever it is. And that would be the whole of him here. You start from the head of Genesis, maybe, or the feet of Genesis, and bring up to the head and call the head Revelation. And bring it through and show you the path. And sometimes you need to know what part of the word is necessary for what time. Remember in the Bible, the woman's going to anoint Jesus. One time, one anoint his feet, another time, one anoint his head. Different parts of the same word. But they had to know which part the one was to be anointed. And that's why some people, you hear the Pentecostals, 90% of the ministry is giving and praising. So they get the people to sing and praise, and then say, and give. And that's it. So then they know nothing about nothing else. See? When it's about the rapture, they have 1% knowledge of what it is. They can find maybe the scripture process we went for. But then they know 80% of all the praise scripture in the Psalms and the praise scripture here and the given scriptures from Genesis to Revelation and preach a great message given. See? And that giving don't mean offer yourself a living sacrifice will accept unto God. That means just pass the blue. If you're blue, you're true. You know, and the kind of country, that kind of thing. But I didn't say I might even get to the message here. I wasn't really in the message, but I just kind of talking to you. I just feel that I need to do that. You know what? So you see, that is important. When you know how to really see, if we say Daniel have vitamins in it. Daniel has some kind of vitamin, or has some kind of vitamins that you need to know if you go in the rapture. There's no way. You see, it's like a motor car. You have a big motor car, you have doors and everything else. You have a certain part of that engine, if it's not there, that car ain't moving one place, you know. And Daniel was put in the Bible for a specific purpose. It was shut up for a specific purpose. And if Daniel was open, then had no reason for the prophet to come in the last days. But if the region was shut up, then God would have had to put a prophet for the end time. Because surely the Lord will do nothing until he reveal his secret to his servant, the prophet. And God takes this as hidden what? Secret and seal it up. Hide it away. No matter what a man do, he'll never find it. Could you imagine God gave man 2,500 years to prove his intelligence? That he's wiser than what God says. They can't cooperate. You hardly find somebody would approach the book of Daniel to try to preach it. It's difficult. You know why? You can take Daniel and preach faith, how he shut the mouth of the lions. But the book is not too much telling them about faith to shut the mouth of the lions. That's just an additive in the book. The book is here to tell the time of the end. This book is here to place certain prophecy in. But remember, when God sealed up that, he says, on the last world days, the whole world will be deceived. You know why they'll be deceived? The things in the book of Daniel, the wicked, they shall not understand. He said, the wise will understand, but the wicked shall not understand. Now, once it withheld from them, they wouldn't know the prince that shall come. They wouldn't see how he made the covenant with Daniel people. They wouldn't see how he divided the land for gain. They wouldn't see how he divided the whole. They wouldn't see it. It would tell from them. And they can't apply the time. They have it somewhere back quite before Jesus comes and fulfills already. Or they have it somewhere fulfilled some in the church age. And then, since it's already fulfilled, they're looking for nothing. It's so important. You see, that's why when it comes to Revelation, herein is the him who has wisdom. So that's a different kind of wisdom. We will say, but I wise it, I hold him back this. You see me, I keep him this and next week. That might be worldly wisdom. But when it comes to the wisdom of the word now, you have the mind of Christ to understand by the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. The natural man cannot know the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. Now it's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost, the inside teacher, in a person, revealing to them what it is. Daniel have mathematics in it. Daniel have history inside it. Daniel have prophecy inside of it. And you have to mix the mathematics with the history, with the prophecy, all these things to get it all right. It's like algebra. And that's why the prophet says, obey the ABC, you'll get the algebra after. It's not the normal man can't just go and get it. And yet, we are supposed to know it. Because we don't know it, we really can't catch the faith to go. Because remember, when you have to make your flight, let not your flight be in the winter night and the Sabbath day, different things. You can't wait for circumstances and conditions to take off, you know. Sometimes you're enjoying your best in the world, things you strive for. It takes you years to get that position, the years to get that promotion. Things now start to go good. Things like you're now turning around in the place. This is your labor for. And say, you will leave now and your pension. You will lose your gratuity, you will lose your pension, you will lose something, you lose this. You don't know why you still leave here. Wait until, and then you will leave. Thank God, he loves us so much that he will not let the rapture come, he will let us live and consume our lust of the flesh and hold it back for us. Isn't that right? At least you have some godly wisdom. No, you can't think so. The reason people think so is because it shows, when the moment comes, it shows the strength of what is there. All of them say, "Stand bothering me, I can leave that. That's not a hold of me. I stand up for this word." And then it comes on them at a time when they choose for it to come. Like to take. See? It comes upon you unaware. Well, you better get moving then. You better know what is happening. Okay. So let's
Maybe just read, I might just get through enough just to read a couple of quotes, but it's going to reveal to you, because in studying this Daniel and going back over it and trying to capture the prophet, what do you think? I'm going to preach in Canada. I suppose we even Tuesday morning for the weekend again. In John Simon's church, not this John Simon here, but another John Simon. They were down there in the meeting of preaching these things, Daniel and Revelation, and they were so upset to this, they moved. He pressed into the city, I never knew when he went on to this in my church. See, because he was into the shower, sir. He was sharp in the meeting. And he looked at it and said, this over, he said, this is years and years and years. They put light in here in this one thing. And he was so affected. He said, God have people like you to put this together to help us ministry. So we could be able to catch the picture. He said, because some people could only see one side of the picture. But that's certainly we could see the whole panoramic of the picture and know the different parts of it. He said, would you come and lay down some of these things in the church? See? I said, okay, but just for you and your people alone, no meeting. Just for you and your people. You gotta go ahead and but we're hungry. Not just excitement and crowding. You see, I'm not trying to use the gift to say that or to attract that. I'm trying to use the gift to get an atmosphere to break this word down that they already have. Because remember, it's not no special revelation in the sense of like something that wasn't spoken. It was spoken, but people went over the top of it. But it's promised to come back around. And then more in season, show them, look why the messenger was sent. Look what was said. Wake up, church. This was it. And studying these things, here I begin to see how what was in the prophet's heart. But while I was there, I saw the trial of the war criminals. I was just a little boy out in the cinema. And, you know, we don't go for watching TV and all these things. And this brother had this, it's called the Judgment of Nuremberg, which is the trial of the war criminals who killed the Nazi judges who sentenced the people to die under Nazism. So, in looking at the trial, which was just a historical recount, a documentary-like film. And the judge, when he came to judge them, he didn't know nothing of the system. And they said the trial, the judge always walked around, 6 million people to kill. And so he began to walk into all the places, he began to go to the site. He didn't stop with the common people. And I could see here is a man with the responsibility of handing down judgment. He realized this crime took place in this environment, but the environment don't exist no more. And he's trying now to capture the spirit of what is here, to get into the mind of what happened, so he can give true judgment, knowing the responsibility that it looked like these men wasn't the men that put the people in the ovens, but these men sat in court. These men uphold law. These men agree on boards to pass these things as law in a nation with a plan to exterminate people for no reason, just because of a different race. And he knowing the pressures upon him. And that comes to me now as I'm about to read. That's what we're trying to do. The prophet had something upon him. He went to God for weeks in prayer and fasting, because he knew in Daniel's 70 weeks all the secrets of the time is put in the Bible. Because Daniel saw from the head of gold all the way down to the millennium, the stone kingdom, where that filled the whole earth. So everything is right there. And history has proven the head of gold was exactly so long.
Only four world powers. Babylon, Medes and the Persians, Greece, Rome. And the fourth power to go right until the end, until the days that God set up his kingdom. And here we are in the time, we are living in a time where those 10 kings, those 10 toes, those 10 horns, when the beast, in the vision of the beast in Daniel 7, it was 10 horns. In the image in Daniel 2, it's 10 toes. The same thing, it's very different. But to bring in the little horn, it shows you 10 horns and another little horn. But when it came to the 10 toes, it didn't show you in that part, because that's Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and God withhold that mystery to show Daniel alone, not Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was a prophet, Nebuchadnezzar was a king. God just showed me the kingdom. Daniel was a prophet, God showed me the mystery now of what God is doing, what the Antichrist is doing. You understand that? And I saw something the other night, and I was preaching Sunday morning, how there are three comings in the book of Daniel. I saw the three comings of Christ. Come to redeem his bride, come to claim his bride, and how he comes to reign with his bride. The Messiah comes, he's caught up enough himself. That is Christ coming to redeem his bride. Then the stone cut out of hands coming to go into a great kingdom. That is him coming to reign with his bride. And then Daniel 10:12, where he saw the last vision of this mighty angel coming out of the book to deliver the names in the book. See? Where that people is going to be delivered. That is the mystery of the second coming. That is Revelation 10. That's where Daniel heard those seven thunders. And what I thought I would have taken my time to share with you tonight, how Daniel heard that, but I feel more directed here to let you see there was something in the man, the prophet. The prophet didn't approach this as some of us would approach it. He approaches knowing that the answer is in the Word, but I don't know it. Daniel didn't know it. Paul and them didn't know it. They saw it, yes. But they said the day and the time. The history wasn't made yet, but they had insight of it. Paul could have said, explain, we're going to go to the last end. But Paul couldn't say, look, Eisenhower and Khrushchev. Because their men wasn't existing yet. They had to wait until the men actually come in the earth. The thing that they for the next 15 minutes before we close. Maybe you can see it. And what I would like this to do in your heart is it stimulates the desire to want to see what time it is. If I ask what time it is, I would say, yeah, now it's about half past eight, I think, you know. So you say, I don't want about. You know, more accurate time than that. But he says, what's your date today, boy? He says, November 96 months. No, November 96 months, more accurate time than that. See? So you want the day, you want the hour of the day, you want the hour booking, you want minutes past the hour to the hour, and then if you can even give me some milliseconds, I ain't going to refuse that neither. You know what I mean? Accurate and precise time. Because when it gets more precise, is where the power begins to move. See? When your Christian life has so much gaps in it, nothing will happen. But when your faith begins to get honed down, when you begin to get zero to the Word, when you begin to tie together, that's where the strength comes. See? So look and see what this meant to the prophet, and then you'll know what it should mean to us. But remember, now let me say this, when he finished preaching Daniel 70, he still didn't have it, eh? When he preached his book, he didn't have it. God's purpose wasn't to give it then. But remember, the message didn't stop in July 61. It came afterwards, when the seals opened. It could only be made when the seals opened. Because why? Daniel heard the thunders, and the thunders sealed it up. And since the thunders, you know, after it fell until 63, then Daniel's vision couldn't be unsealed. Only how much could be unsealed up till that time was unsealed. So don't think you're going to read Daniel's and then don't read the seven seals. This is only, he only took this message to place us. He says, I'm taking this because from 4th to the 19th chapter deals with the last half of the 7th week. And when the seals come, you will not understand nothing in there if I don't take this. So I'm taking this. So when we go to the seals, you'll be able to understand. I'll be able to refer you back and say, remember St. John Daniel, remember St. John this. But this message was not to explain the time actually at that time. But when the seals open and you come to the 6th seal, there's something happened today. That's the record of messages. Let me say that's the record is holding me. That's why over the years when God gave us 7 trumpets, it moved the message into a sphere. And up to this day, many people still think it's only for the Jews. Sure, it's only for the Jews. But the thing is, the Jews is the timepiece. And that's why they don't retire. As a man, keep a good message on. Live a good life. Live the life. It's the life. It's the life. It's the life. It's the life. But you know what time we're living in? You know how to get ready. So then the life become morality. The life don't become faith, anointing the promise that is to be here now. Now, as Jesus said, go and tarry not many days from now. He knew the time that the Holy Ghost was coming. He knew the time he was supposed to die. He said, the Son of Man is going to go into Jerusalem. He's going to die. Because he knew the Passover time had come. Just like he knew the Pentecost time, Peter Pentecost time was coming too. So he knew for him and he knew for them. He said, you go and tarry, that's coming. Peter Passover is interpreted in me. Peter Pentecost can be interpreted in you. You go. I had mine, you're going to have yours. See? Exactly. And when you see the path for you, it's really a blessing. Now look, when he approached this first message in prayer, he said, we would ask thee, O God, to reveal to us these secret things that have been hid all these years. As we are approaching one of the most sincere, solemn words, thou didst speak of it when you were here on earth, and said, he that readeth, let him understand. So we most graciously come to thee, Lord, and seek thy wisdom, not knowing just what to say. Set in order here a few scriptures and solemnly and wholly depending upon thee for the answer, for no other purpose, but that we might know the hour that we are living, that we might be prepared for the great things that lies ahead. He said, won't you grant it to us, Lord, in the name of him who taught us, that we should pray? And then he prayed the Lord's prayer. Then he begins talking to the church here. He said, we have been now for months in the study of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have come to the church ages. The first 3 chapters of Revelation was the church ages. Then John was caught up in the 4th and 5th chapter and was showed things that was to be hereafter. Now, on the 6th chapter, he drops down into it again. You see things take place. That will go from the 6th chapter, the first verse, until the 19th chapter and the 21st verse. In here, that is in this space of time from the 6th, Revelation 6:1 to Revelation 19:21. In here comes in the seals, the plagues, the woe, the locust, the woman in the sun, the castles of the red dragon, the seal of the 140,000, and all these things. See, this has been a week of tremendous study. Yesterday all day I hardly moved from the room trying to study. And it's something in the last time, many of the old timers here, you see, I just said in here belongs something to Daniel. But I did not try to attack it, to pray. But this time, by the grace of God, I have taken upon myself to try to ask grace before God that I might bring it to the people. And in here, I am finding things that I do not know one thing about. You see, long ago when I preached in the church, everybody said, no. He said, many of the old timers are still here. I just say, right in here, come down on 70 weeks, and keep on going. He said, but now, when I come to this portion here, he said, I start to find things I can't even explain. I don't know nothing about it. He said, for this whole week, I've been searching, digging, approaches from different angles, because I have to tie together. See? He said, why? Because we might see the time we are living in and know how to prepare. Now, this is what we're trying to get the church into. And this is what we are trying to get the little church here into. Now, look. You see, I've been reading Dr. Larkin's book, Dr. Smith's book, Dr. Scopley's notes, different commentaries from man everywhere. Haven't much. men taught on Daniel, but these are three of the most prominent men who spoke on Daniel. Smith, Larkin, Schofield, and here he says, and yet I cannot put yes together to make it come out right. Now remember, these three men is reformers, and many other commentators of other man reformers. And here's a prophet now looking at this. He says, I'm looking at it, but I can't make what they say come right. You want me to explain this here, but it don't blend here. And how could they apply that here when it's contrary to the word over here? But they're reformers, they leave things loose-ended, and they keep on going. To them it's sung right, so they make a suggestion. But he being a prophet, he just can't go and make suggestions. This thing has to tie together. When he's done, he'll be able to say, tell you what time it is. He'll say, I feel again late. He can't say that. You know, well, I feel we have much time again. He has to know how much time we use up, how much time left, and how we have to use that time or what's to happen that time. That's where it must be when you have a revelation. So look after that. He says, see, so this week I've been visiting the library in Kentucky. I have to read up all this when you go to the library now. On some of the ancient astronomy of the calendars and times. Now he's saying all this on purpose. He's letting you know, I tried to approach years and I didn't get through. So I take a next angle. I start to search up on time. What is time? This I start to look up the calendars. Why? Where did the calendar come from? Man made it. Why man made the calendar? To measure time. Why do we wear a watch? Where watch come from? Man make it. Watch is not jewelry, you know. Watch is a thing, an instrument to measure time. Now, people kind of incorporate it in the jewelry, make it fashionable, make the band look flashy and everything. And then some people who are not even interested in time but want the bracelet, then they wear it and they flash it. And then they get a brand name, you know, that kind of Bulova or Rolex or something, a real high class thing, or Cartier or something. And they push one of them things to show that they have something expensive. But really, it was designed not for jewelry, it was designed to measure time. Because, why is this so important? Because man's life spans a lot of the time. We all are allotted just much time on the earth. And our lives could be a total waste without any achievement if we don't measure our days. Right? David said, Lord, teach me to measure my days. My days are 100. And if I come into this for a purpose and can't measure my days, and I know I only have so much time. Like Moses had 120 years. First 40 years was to get filled up with Egypt. Second 40 years was to beat it out to him. Third 40 years was to take people out of Egypt and take them to the promise. And then God said, Moses, time for you to die. And the Bible said the man wasn't sick. But the man's time was finished. And God dealt with the man according to his time, and he understood his time. But the Bible said 8 sevens. 7 years. I go do certain things. No life. See? And then when he goes through his life, he watched, though he's looking for certain things to happen. God show him, you're going to do a work when you get older. And looking for that work to come. God tell him, you're going to bring a message. You're going to find the second coming of Jesus Christ, like John found the first coming. He's looking for those things. And as God teach him about the purpose of his life, he looked now to manage that time the best way he could, so that purpose could be fulfilled. And so he went, he says, to get the calendar. We are under the Roman calendar. For the Roman calendar, one month is 28 days, February. November is 29, every leap year. Then some other months is 50, like September and November. See? And then some months is 51 days. No, God don't have things jumbled up like that. But business, politics, religion, everything is being governed by that time now. That calendar is run everybody's life. That governs everybody's life. And the calendar wrong. But we have to come now into the prophecy. God is not going to change this thing for the calendar. God is going to take us away from those things and bring us to His Word, to the order of His Spirit, to the way He does things. to his program. And that is why, as you say, the calendar say, well, when you reach 40, you qualify for gratuity. You pay off at this age, and you'll get 10%, you'll get your bonus after at this age. And they work the calendar, they run the rule on your life, and they offer you certain things. And then God telling you, you're waiting for that? Like the man who built bigger barns? This is a night, your soul is required of you. And then you realize, no, I have to let my life move according to how God laid out for me. That is a place where the church needs to be weaned from. Because real faith will lift you up above that. And the word become the influence. Amen? Let's fight with that last bit of sleep and we finish up a couple of quotes here. And we'll be through by God's grace. And a good mood tonight. Amen. So he says, he went in the library, visit these things. He said, and I pick up from the libraries and so for the ancient books that I can and what little I can do. And having my trust solemnly in Jesus Christ to reveal it to me, because I do not want it to say, I know this and I know that. He knows my heart. He's listening at me. But I want that it that I might enlighten his people. Bring the word sometimes, right? You think he can just go and find a nice sermon that the preacher ready and find another and just preach it again and warm people's heart and just keep his church happy and preach something to entertain them as well? No. He knowing the time, knowing that he reached a place when the pillar of fire come down there on that church age, when John Kennedy was elected back there and the Catholic Church was back in America and Revelation 13 started to be fulfilled and those things there been identified. And now he reached the place, he have to take Daniel 7, otherwise he can't go further in Revelation. So now he have to find it. And now when he started to study it, he realized that things in there he never even know and never even thought of. You don't know what to do. You can't come and just bypass it. Because the whole purpose is, the season has come, it has to be brought out. And God didn't just say, here, go and say it. He's going to read this commentary, that commentary, that commentary, that commentary. He realized he can't put a man with a man sitting together. He go in the library, study this calendar, study this and time. We astronomy calendar, Julian calendar, Roman calendar. Still can't do it. You know, this is not from God, because God tell Daniel, seal it up. God has to open it up. And that is why I see here in the light that God has given on certain things and places out to you, sometimes you could just have locked it down because that was a nice service. And the word, that's why I'm reading these things here, to show you in the unfolding of the word and in God dealing with the church in the last days, that had to be brought out, otherwise the church can go no further. He said you will miss everything when them seals open. And the reason many people today, these seals is history for them, is because all these things here, they don't have it in them and they miss it. They're just superficial, mental. But there's a revelation in dear friends. Now when the word comes and tell you, look what has happened. Do you realize that? Is that dividing the land? Do you realize that is in place? Do you realize the covenant coming here? Do you realize this is going on here? When you see that, that's not a passing statement or an assumption. That is based on fact and prophecy to tell you, friends, look at the hour. Look where we ought to be. Look what's happening here. You see? And then when that is taking place, when it strikes us, he said, you look to see, the church getting under prayer. The church getting focused. All the foolishness is going away. The church begins to look up. The conversation changing. The attitude. The reverence coming in. The respect. The sincerity coming in. They begin to see these things to know. The people are being content. Like them ducks, they start to swarm together because they're going to the flight. The cold breeze coming off the mountain and striking them. See the inspiration striking them. They've seen it's time to go. So here is a little. He said, that's why I'm asking God to let me know what these 70 weeks mean. Because I know it is the exact calendar for the age we are living in. He said, the reason I'm asking God to show me this is the exact calendar for the age we are living in. And therefore I want to know it, not for myself. He said, of course I want to know it. If I don't say it that way, not for myself, because I do want it for myself,
I want to know because I want to know where we are living and what time we are living in. And then I know that that was given. See? You see, well, different ones to get out. The one fellow to get out way back in 1919. Said it was supposed to run out there. You say, well, that wasn't so. After 70 weeks, it's all finished. You don't want to know the truth. I'm asking God to give the truth. He said, and I said, God will give the answer. Wife asked him. He said, my wife said, Bill, how do you pick off people who are poor people, men and women educated like we are, to understand such as that? So the natural man is this. He preaches this. Smith couldn't figure it out, the scholar. Larkin couldn't figure it out. Schofield couldn't figure it out, Dr. Schofield. And now he's going to get to bring the church. And you guys say, you can't understand that. You can't just let them keep stuff on, you know, it's good sense of mind. He said, I said, God will give the answer. No matter how complicated it is, God can break it down and make it simple. For we are a portion of those people who are longing, praying for that, the end of hour. And our eyes are set towards heaven. And we are watching for his coming. Hear the answer to his wife. And I'm just sure that he will show us. No, it won't tell us the day or the hour, because no man will know that. But it certainly will tell us the day of the week we are living, if we can just get it.
Oh, my God.
And he says now, he says in a class now, this is the test. If you want to find, if we can find out what those 70 weeks are, we know when the consummation is. God help us to know it. It tells us exactly somewhere in these pages, from the that time to this time until the consummation, won't miss 1 minute. Now, these are some of the things that meant to him as a prophet. Remember, this man had preached almost anything that he did. It's great and deep. This man comes to this. He knew that inside this word, this is lame. It's sealer. Something is sealer. All these years, men tried to probe into it, but it wasn't the time for it. And now is the time for it. If you could find these days, you'll see exactly where the consummation is. And now listen to this one. And he did it in a way, and he made it all hid from the church. When we get down in those six full understandings, how he's got it all hid from the church, so that the church will be watching it every minute. Didn't know when he was coming, but now the church is about over, so it's just ready now for the coming. It's getting ready. This is the one most important scripture in the book. What does it do? It tells the closing of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. This scripture, the 70 weeks, it discloses and tells exactly from the time that Daniel started there until the end of the consummation. It's one of the greatest time pieces. How many ever heard me say, if you want to know what day of the week it is, look at the calendar. If you want to know what time we are living in, what to do, that's right. Yes, God's calendar, taken from right there. Any theologian, any Bible scholar, anyone will tell you that this is the time piece, the Jews. So that is to know the time we are living in. And that's why we try to do that chart to give it to you. So it will help stimulate your interest to read the book and kind of take you seriously, not as a preaching series, but to teach it, to break down some of the things, to begin to give you an entrance, an insight into it. You say, Israel returned to our homeland. What day that God determines Israel to be a nation? That's the day there'll never be another Gentile faith. I'll prove that by these 70 weeks, if I can only find them days. If I'm going over to get the astronomy calendar, the Julian astronomy, Roman, all of them, there's somewhere there's something God knows about it and is able to reveal it. I know the Julian calendar, 365 and a quarter day in a year, so they are all mixed up, but there's a truth somewhere. He had confidence. He said, all of that is for our purpose. God, help, use that to keep this seal up. So when man tried to calculate the time, when them great men, them great teachers, start a probe, they have to use a calendar to calculate the time. And the calendar wrong. So I know God helped use that to make it seal up, but there has to be a truth somewhere. It's wonderful, eh? I tell you, you know, it boggles the mind. Let me read one more for you. Now, that's a powerful statement I just read here. What day that God determined Israel to be a nation? He said the nation determined to be a nation just the other day. 1948, Israel was recognized as a nation. Had their own army, their own money and everything in the homeland. But what does he mean by the day God determined Israel to be a nation? You know what it means? God will deal with the Jews outside of Palestine. That nation is going to be saved in a day. That nation is going to be saved in 140,000 people. And that 140,000 people have to be inside the land before God considers them a nation. They bring some of Ethiopia just recently. Now, back in 1946 after the war, a lot of people went in. But out of them, a lot of people maybe could be just 2,000 or 340,000. You understand what I'm saying? Then they start to bring them from Russia. Then they start come from everywhere. They start come from different places. Then they start to find out something in Ethiopia. They never look for Jews in Ethiopia. And not until the Jews came back and they saw how the Egyptians could see. You saw this wrong. Could you imagine that? Ethiopian Jews telling them that? Why? Because it was preserved down in there while the Jews were scattering to all the world. And went through the Holocaust, they didn't go through the Holocaust down there. When they come back, they say, no, it's so we just do this, it's so we just do that. And they had part of the mystery in coming back. Think of it. Now, when the last one comes and God says, okay, my 104,000 is here, you got to remember they have to be there first. And the same way, when they come in, the last one would have come in the way too. On this side. Because God don't deal with the bride outside the world. So when the last one comes on this side, and the last one comes on that, in the land here, and he determined the nation, there's not another one to be saved here, the doctor shut here too. Think of it. It's tremendous, right? This is the last quote here. He said, I'm very grateful to Mr. Smith, the Adventist Church. I like about the prophet. He did compliment the Adventist man for what he said right, and then he said them for what he said wrong. And not because the man is wrong, he can't compliment the man for saying something right. You see, if somebody has something right, they might have just a little part right. You compliment them for that part right. You have to go and explain how all you are wrong. You may have a time to say that too. We may have a time to say, hey guys, that's wonderful, man. That's nice. He said, I'm very grateful to Dr. Larkin for his views. I'm grateful to all these great scholars for their views on this. And in reading them, it enlightens me much that I can find places that look right. But to get the views that I thought I would like to explain, I searched through the Encyclopedia of Time to find out what time meant. And the prophet approach is different. He says, no. They took different approaches. They didn't take you know what time is. But I feel since it's time, and it's time divided into time, 1,203 days, it's 42 months. You know, then let me find out what time is in God's word. What does that mean? Remember my message last week, redeeming the time, knowing the time. Daniel Revelation is knowing the time. And we find over here, we got time and divide the time. What is time? What is a week? Now that's been 3,450 years ago since God started delivering the Jews. Time, divide the time. Time and 70 weeks. Look where 70 weeks would take him. Why? He was still in Babylon in 70 weeks. When God told Daniel, 70 weeks are determined. If that meant 70 ordinary weeks, that only 490 days. Is that right? So that arose before they come out of Babylon. So then, that week was prophetic week. They had to interpret what a week in the Bible is. And if God gives it there in that scripture, it must have another scripture to interpret it, so it interprets itself. You don't go now somewhere else to get something else, you see? So he says now my church here knows that all through the years I told you, if you want to know what day of the week it is, look at the calendar, but if you want to know the time we are living, watch those Jews. And you as a believer, follow the news. What's the Jews? What's Israel? Israel, we don't know what's happening here. It's important to you. Never as a young person have a lazy mind. Reading is one of the greatest things to help you. You develop the eyes to read. The reason a lot of people never develop that, and they come in the message and they don't read. And if not reading the word, then Christ is hidden and revealed in his own word. And no man can claim to know God apart from the word. And Daniel got the revelation, the angel came to him when he was in the book, reading what Jeremiah was saying. Is that right? So you have to develop that, try to develop that. It's good, it's going to help you. It expands your thinking. It gives you insight, it opens up things to you. See? It develops you mentally to read. It helps you in conversation, you talk with people. And you'll be able to even express and communicate and even become a witness and a channel that God can use you to speak to people and give a reason of the hope inside of you. It's not just to come to church and go, you know, being a Christian is a healthy thing. Being a Christian, you could be the best worker you have out there. You could be the best student. See? You could represent Christ anywhere he has placed you, being a Christian. It's not just about religion. It's about life. Watch those Jews. That's the only timepiece. God allotted no certain time to the Gentiles. There was no certain space of time. And that's where I think many great writers mixed it up. Was trying to apply this to the Jew and the Gentile. Because he said, thy people. He was talking to Daniel, not to the church. Daniel, people, is Jew. If he was talking to the church, he can't make that run nowhere. You are way back even before the coming of Christ. It will run out in any kind of prophetic which you want to put it to. It's already run out. But he was talking to the Jews. The dear for the Jews is God's champion. So there is something here that we're going to pick up maybe the next time. You know what he found out? He found out that from the days of Noah, when the atomic explosion took place, the atomic explosion that brought the flood. I know what's going to burn the earth. Is the atomic explosion going to push it back into the sky? But remember, rain never used to fall. It's a mix of water. Think of it. Vapor would come up a mist. Not as rainfall, but moisture. Like chemistry. You understand that? Like chemistry. But instead it come up now, it has come from on top now. It has come down now. The vegetation does live by the rainfall. And what caused it? It no longer on its axis the way God had it. So when they try to measure it, they get some months longer than some. And here what it says, God let it happen that way because God knew the second coming was going to be a secret. Now look why it's going to be, you have to be sharp in this age. And look why God gave an eagle anointing. Because in this age, you'd have to be, it's going to be a secret when he comes. And so no man will be able to calculate the time with the calendars that they have. So what God do? God block up and bind up the wisdom of man right away. So man could probe and probe and probe, but God put a bind on them. They can't break through that. They have to use calendars. But the church on the other side, a revelation of the scriptures that are laid here that only God could reveal. See? To bring them scriptures and sort of slide them together. That there'll be the people on the earth who will actually be the fulfillment of even a part of that scripture just before the coming of the Lord. That the mystery will be in their very own life. There'll be the walking fulfillment. Who else can interpret that beside them? Who else can interpret Malachi 4 in this day beside the one who was fulfilling it? Who else can reveal the mystery of the bride beside the actual people who is ordained to be the bride? Who else can raise up the ground in person, Moses and Elijah, before the two real men come?
When the two real men come, only them could make that scripture live in Revelation 11. Exactly. Only those men, through the operation of the Holy Ghost, will be able to open up them things of Daniel and them things of Revelation and put it together to prove to the Jews who they are and which tribe they're from and where they are and where Jacob blessed them and where they are placed. Nobody else will be able to prove them things. It is in the Holy Ghost. So as a believer, what it means, God will come to you in this hour. It can't come to you no other way outside the Holy Ghost coming to you. Is that a promise? The world has been used to come to you. I'll lead and guide you in all truth. Is that a promise? I'll be with you in the end of the age. Use your unction from the Holy One to teach you all things. Then you'll have to have that to give you prevailing power. Could you get prevailing power without revelation? The revelation is sovereign, only the Holy Ghost. He alone is the divine reveal, the quickener of the word. So it means that he's going to come to you. But for you, for him to come to you, you have to expect him, and you have to know what he's going to come to you to bring to you. And you have to be interested in receiving what he promised to bring to you at that time. And you have to know how to use it and in what way it's going to benefit you to get you ready to go. When you realize it, then you say, Lord, teach me to know. Teach me to understand. Give me the insight I need. I can't grasp all them dates and all them types and all them different things, Lord. But when your prophet wife say, we can't understand, I guess she was thinking about me. But then your prophet turn around and say, Lord, you are able to break it down. And we will see it. Amen.
Take God back to his word.
That's what a believer does. This is the Lord you said. Your prophet said. Believe in the Lord God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper.
Sure. And you stand there upon it, and you watch God go the path. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray for the to come. This blindness is in part. Israel blindness will be completed and to be over. When the day of atonement comes, Israel's eyes are open. Joseph's brothers recognize Joseph. That means the fullness of the Gentiles must come in before the day of atonement. What time are we living in? Between the Feast of Trumpets, between Israel being gathered together, and between the day of atonement. How long have we been living in this space of time here? We've been living here for 50 years since Israel was gathered back in the homeland. During that time, the ministry of the Son of Man being revealed. In 1946, the prophet went out, young rabbi with healing, first time. Then discernment, second Paul. Then if you say to this mountain, speak to this storm, speak to the tree in Jesus' ministry, come back in this day, create squirrels, speak to the hot-eyed boy, speak to the storm, speak to the fish, all these things. Then Matthew 24, Jesus opened the seven seals. When we see 1963, the seven seals been opened. Then the last part was the preaching to the lost when the streets came and the resurrection. All these years we've been waiting here, friends. Now the Holy Spirit taking this Daniel 70 weeks in this book of Revelation for us. More in season. What is he telling us? When we see them thinking of changing times and laws, when we see them dividing the land for gain, when we see the whole world being deceived, the beast devouring the rich crop, they're causing crop to prosper. When we see all these things moving in the land, what does it mean to us as believers? How we should be? Remembering those words the angel said when the prophet came, he is coming soon. He's coming soon. The signs are wrong in the air, painted on a star sky. This very year we start Jubilee. Then that comet appeared, showing booties coming quickly. Gathered flock, the little sheepfold, the greater sheepfold. Showing that very north star in the middle of the little sheepfold. All these things. Auriga. gathering his sheep and putting them into safety in the hour of judgment. The Holy Spirit revealing, identifying. As this year running out, here we are in November, friends. In a couple more days, think of it. If you're 78 years since that war stopped mysteriously, but around since that war wasn't stopped, the battle of Armageddon that takes place right here. But the winds was hell to get the 11-hour Gentiles. We captured Jerusalem, let loose again. Then the second war took place. Then God stopped the second war again. Jews back in the homeland. Prophet went out. Like Eliezer, they call a bride. Look at the scriptures, friends. Unfolding, unfolding down. 1996 now. November, here we are. The Holy Spirit coming down. And this message, Daniel and Revelation, seen visibly among the people of the neighbor countries. You were there. Holy Spirit come down there at night in that prayer line. Different ones was healed. People throw away their asthmatic things. Others who are hearing problems, all kinds of different people be healed. Can't you see? He wants to come to you and reveal himself to you in a way. The same God with Daniel in the land's den. He was with them that time when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to kill all the people. Usually the Hebrew boys during that time. When they want to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Same God has been with us down through these years. But all that time they did not have a revelation of the end time. It wasn't revealed yet. Then Gabriel came. That mighty angel descended from heaven. Here it is, friends. God coming down in this hour. Make these people to understand his vision, Gabriel. And God begin to shine light. Begin to place these things out for us. So we can redeem the time. We capitalize upon the opportunities that God has given unto us. Ask God to teach you. Some of you here will not live to become old people. Some of you here will not even live to become 40 years. Some of you young ones. You will never become 30, some of you. Think of it. It'll all be over. God is dealing with you at this hour, at this time. He's attracting you to himself. Recognize it. Open your heart. He's interested in each and every one of us, young and old. Some of us may even die before he comes. We'll fall asleep in our lot. Like he told Daniel. But you'll come up in that resurrection. You'll become part of that greater sheepfold. Part of that group beyond the curtain of time. They'll come back to appear to us. To let us know it's time to go. Our gracious God, in these hours when we are watching and waiting, as the songwriter says, looking above, how we desire to be filled with your goodness, Lord, and lost in your love. How we desire to have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, gracious God, when you see the time clock striking the hour, when you see the signs painted on a starlit sky, and God's faithful witnesses declare that the coming of the Savior draw at night. Oh, how we want to see him, look upon his face, and dare to sing forever of his saving grace. How, Lord God, we don't want to build our hopes on sinking sands and temporal things. We want to build our hopes on things eternal. We don't want to cover this world vain riches that will rapidly decay. We want to seek the heavenly treasures that will never pass away, Lord. Let the things of this world grow strangely dim tonight in the light of the glory and grace. Lord God, as we begin to look towards the eastern skies, Lord, as we begin to see these things moving, Lord, as you begin to see that light pressing, coming in, Lord, dividing the light from the darkness. We are not of the night, we have the day. Oh God, we are not them asleep, we are them who are awake. You've come and you've awakened us, Lord. to this great realization.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Here we are waking up, rising up, trimming our lamps, knowing, Lord, it's time to go to your Father. That door is going to swing shut. Those who have no oil will be caught behind, left outside. But how, Lord God, we want to know we have been made ready because the marriage of the Lamb is coming. His wife hath made herself ready. They who already went in with you, Father. They who were robed. They who had the lamps trimmed and filled with oil. The man who had no robe was thrown on the outside, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. God, teach us your ways. Teach us to understand. Give us insight, Lord. Create a love in our heart for your truth. He said, because many didn't have the love for the truth, they received a strong delusion to believe the lie. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Oh, God. We don't want a form of godliness. Godliness is a mystery. It's God himself being made manifest in the flesh. God walking in 2 feet. You say, if we separate from the unclean things, if we come unto you, if we surrender ourselves, offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto you, you will dwell in us, you will walk in us, you'll be our God, and we shall be your people. That is what we desire, Father. That's the church in this hour, living epistles, word of all men, almighty God in flesh again. Oh, God, make it real, Lord. Sink it down on the inside tonight. I pray, Father, even as Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, young ones, at the beginning of the Gentile dispensation, when they refuse to bow to that image, when they refuse to be pressured away from the religion, turn their fiery furnace, turn their lion's den, how they stood for that word. Because they knew that you as a God who reveal yourself to them. Deep secret things, dear God. When the great magicians and the soothsayers and the great learned men and the mathematicians and the scientists in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar couldn't grasp them things, you came to the hearts of sincere believers who were standing true and refused to be defiled. And you reveal yourself to them, Lord. Oh, God, you are still the same. Hallelujah. Here at the end of the Gentile dispensation, God, these who is standing for your word, bearing persecution many times, like our sister was testifying the other night, being ridiculed and laughed at because of our religions, what you stand for, trying to oppress and everything, to follow the crowd and the false religions, Lord, the voices, the uncertain sons. You're going to break that strong barrier, Father, like an eagle. Lord God, knowing the voice of God in the last days and spoken by a vindicated prophet, the trumpet given an uncertain song, a song to appear and make us ready, O God. Lord God, knowing how we have to stand many times, those who are going to schools, those who are going to jobs, in the community, different places, O God. The devil many times brings scoffers and mockers. Bible said they'll rise in the last days to scoff and mock, and to laugh and try to say, where is the promise of his coming? It's not for them, Father. The world will not see you. Oh, God. You hid yourself from them. Well did John prophesy in the book of Revelation of them, that they would be blind in the Laodicean age. Well did Isaiah prophesy that gross darkness would be on the earth and upon the peoples. But you arise and shine because your light is come. Lord, as we see the time running out, as we see, Lord God, just maybe a couple more days, Father, teach us, Lord. Convince us in our hearts. Tear down the veil of self-will. Burn out them channels of reasonable imagination and these things. Give strength in every stronghold. Lord God, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God will be pulled down. Every influence that is of this world that is negative and trying to hold us back from coming to full surrender and obedience to your word. Break the power of it from around our lives, Father. Our desire is to be free, we might serve you and represent you, Lord, and fulfill the things that you have placed upon the earth to do. Like Mary who said, beat unto us according to thy word. Oh God, like Ruth, Lord. All that thou sayest, that will we do, Father. Gracious God, how, Lord, in this hour. Lord, like Paul, what will thou have me to do, Lord? They so struck and they saw you had a will, you had a purpose in their lives, and they wanted to surrender to. They wanted to grow in a clearer understanding of it. They wanted to take their place and be led by your Holy Spirit and be used as an instrument in your hand in your service. That their lives could fulfill the very things that you placed them on the earth for, and their lives could bring glory to you, your name. That they could represent you in the environment and the place where you have placed them, Lord. Lord, that is what we desire tonight. May you grant it, Father. As we leave this place, pondering these things in our hearts, realizing, oh God, it's something of value, something that's a great secret. Then, Lord, may it be reflected in our attitude, in our reverence, in our sincerity, as we ask of you to make it clear and clear and break it down in such a way that faith, each one here, will be able to partake of it, Lord. There will be a rapturing grace sweep over this audience, this congregation of believers. This church will rise up into such a spot, Lord. Great signs and wonders and miracles will be wrought in our midst. People will come walking in this place and know surely the presence of God is in this place. Unbelievers, big believers, oh God, Father, the fear and the dread of God will fall upon them. Lord God, the elected, oh God, that comes here to be awakened with this, surely this is the gate to heaven. This is the house of God. Lord, may you grant it, Father. As we go to our homes tonight, take us safely, watch over us, and protect us. We ask it, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Give a little prayer request that you may not have power as you come to God. But time will be summer. Nothing to the virus. And then some diabetes. Wife also in diabetes. He's a believer. It seems like the devil wanna put this obstacle of sickness, break down their health and hold them in that realm. They're trying to give God the best. They're believers tonight. They want to break through that cage. See God's Spirit move on the scene and cast them devils and sickness out. Cause them to walk in liberty, enjoy health, and know that He's real and He cares for them. Almighty God, not only do we desire the revelation of the word for our soul, which we know is the major, and that divine healing is a minor, but we need the minor, Father. You send the minor many times to confirm the major. Oh God, and I pray, and Lord God, He says, you signs and wonders where God is moving. Signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Oh God, you sent your word first. When Elijah told them to bake the cake, then the miracle followed, oh God. They heard it, they recognized it, and they went to acting upon it. We believe, oh God, here tonight, and as believers in this church, praying for other believers, oh God, that is in need. Lord God, you said, two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. Even them who are here tonight might be in need of a touch of healing, Father. Remember them likewise, whatever the touch might be that they have need of. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the great Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is more than enough for us tonight, hallelujah, may you break the power of sickness, break the bands of sickness around the lives of your children, O God. You said, in your name we shall cast out devils. Father, we cast these devils out, Lord. That virus in our brother, that diabetic demon, O God, in our sister, Lord. Lord God, trying to disrupt their body, O God, and trying to hold them in that realm of sickness. And even them who might be here tonight, Lord, pressing through, they get a touch, O God, and they might receive some virtue. Come into their body, O God. The strength of the living God, the power of God to raise them out of that sick condition. May they receive it tonight for the glory of God. As we pray and believe in your mighty presence, as we ask these things in the all-powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand upon your word and confess, it's nothing but the truth, Lord. May it take place. May it become a reality. We thank and we praise you for it. We give glory to you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with us now as we go. Amen. And amen. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. What joy the glorious hope affords. Soon, oh, wondrous peace of life. Amen. Amen.
deep, the closing days of time. Oh, what joy. Time is closing out, friends. Oh, perforce, that soon, oh, wondrous truth sublime. Oh, we shall reign, King of kings, Lord of lords. Coming soon, he's coming soon with joy. Oh, we welcome his returning. It may be morn, between 6 and 9 when it is. I don't only know he's coming soon. Oh, the signs around. Around in a tunnel, all painted, all painted on the starlit sky. God's faithful witnesses tonight. Well, witnesses declare, oh, that the coming of the Savior. Coming of the Savior, oh, at night. Oh, he is coming soon. Complex numbers, in countless numbers, all shall rise through the portals of the sky, the portals of the sky. Oh, he shall come to prepare paradise. Oh, he is coming soon. Welcome his returning. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. It may be hard. I know. He's coming soon. And we who live in the yet remain. Yet remain. Oh, caught up shall meet our faithful Lord. Oh, keep this hope in your heart. This hope we cherish not in vain. Cherish not in vain. Oh, but we comfort one another. Comfort one another by his word. Oh, sing the song. He's coming soon. When we see his book opening up and his word revealing, amen. We know it won't be long again. Come the years of month, come the month of days, any day now.
Maybe more, it seems like on earth, and we, he's come.
Oh, the signs around in earth and air.
Signs around in earth and air.
All painted on the starlit sky.
On the starlit sky,
God's faithful witnesses declare.
All witnesses declare.
Oh, that the coming of the Savior.
Coming of the Savior. Draw it now. He is coming.
Oh, I know he is. Tonight. Oh, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me.
Be morning, be night or noon.
in the first verse again. Indeed, the closing days of time. Time running out for the Gentiles. At the end of the ministry of the Son of Man, he that's filthy, filthy still, he'll go to the lost friend. The last part of the ministry, preaches to the lost. Think of it. Time runs out. Oh, wondrous truth sublime. He shall reign, King of kings. This great rock cut without hands. Oh my, the Son of David himself. The Lamb of Judah.
He's coming to the shore. We welcome his return.
Believe he's coming soon. You know he's coming soon, friends. The Lord himself shall listen to heaven and shout with the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. Amen. Sirs, what time is it, my brethren? Is it those 7 thunders going to open for mystery? Going to bring a power back into the church? The shroud will appear for rapture in faith? These vile old mad bodies going to be changed? Could it be, my brethren? Is this that time? Oh, my. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Look up, friends. Visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Angels descending. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Let us sing that. Blessed assurance. And let's go with that assurance to our hearts. If Brother Bram says, on the first seal, think of it. He said, no, I'm not going to call you church, I'm going to call you bride. And how much more when these things are being displayed to us, can we call you bride? B-R-I-D-E. That's it. See yourself. I don't know who B, R, and D, E is, but I know who I is. I am bride. You see yourself in it. B and R will be sitting right next to you. Say, God bless you, B, and God bless you, R, and God bless you, D, and God bless you, E. Amen. But I see myself. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. God bless you. Keep you faithful. Pray for me over the weekend. Have great services right here. Amen. May God kind of pour his Holy Spirit among you. Or whatever need you have, remember he's faithful, he's reliable. Remember there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. This is a great time. Believe it, expect to receive from him. Don't look at your own worthiness. Don't forget all the messages on the atonement and these things. Your standing, your state. Amen. Your position. Now he's telling it's time to go. Amen. Take your place then. Stand here, walk. Proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ, the message of the hour. Amen. It's a great time. This year has been a jubilee year. In the book of Daniel, look for that great 70th jubilee. That release to go up. He thought that is going to bring it. The consummation. Think of it, friends. God come and open up the world to you. Things in the heavens, things in the Bible, things everywhere, all around you. God come and show his presence among you. Amen. Think of it. What a people we ought to be. So thankful. Amen.
Blessed assurance.
Oh, just sing it sweetly to the Lord. Worship him now.
Thus is mine. Oh, what a portent of glory.
Oh, heir of salvation, that's what you are tonight. That's what you are, friend, purchase of God. Hallelujah. Born of His Spirit tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, and washed in His blood. If that's your story, that's your song, why don't you lift that hand, slip it up, and worship him. This is my story, Lord. This is my song. God bless you.
Yeah.
salvation perfectly like. Perfect submission. Hallelujah. Perfectly. Visions of rapture and of verse on my sight. Vision of rapture. Descending on Indus, bring from above. Oh, bring from above echoes of mercy. Oh, echoes of mercy. Oh, whispers of love. Submission, all is at rest. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. I and my Savior. Hallelujah. Lord, watching. Oh, thank you. Looking above. Oh, looking above. Filled with His goodness. Oh, filled with His good. Oh, lost in His love tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, this is my soul. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him, my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Oh, perfect submission. Oh.
perfect visions of rapture. Hallelujah. Oh, vision of rapture. Now burst on my side. Now burst on my oh, angel descending. God, angel, descend. Ring from above, ring from above. Echoes of mercy.